Joining us now is Stan Karp. He's an editor of the magazine Rethinking Schools. And Stan recently wrote an article for the magazine titled School Reform We Can't Believe In. Stan, welcome to Making Contact.
Thank you.
So right now, we have tens of thousands of teachers being laid off, class size is increasing, schools are being closed. Is this simply about a lack of money, or is there a structural problem that's enabled this really dismal reality?
Well, actually, probably a combination of both. Underfunding of public education is an endemic problem. There was a famous court case back in the early 70s that took the issue of educational inequality to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said while there was certainly a lot of inequality, it was not a federal issue because education is not mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. And it became a state-by-state issue as to how the 50 states were going to fund public education. And in most states, the systems are very inadequate to the needs of public school children and the needs of what kind of resources are necessary to deliver quality education. And there's also a lot of inequities, so that we not only don't provide enough resources to all schools, but we provide better resources to some kids than others. And the current economic crisis is simply exacerbated that. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for last year's stimulus bill, several hundred thousand teachers would have lost their jobs last year. And now we're coming around to the same kind of budget situation without federal stimulus funds. And so the chickens are coming home to roost in a very, you know, serious way.
What about President Obama's Race to the Top program? Right now, states are competing for federal money for schools. Do you think this is the answer, or even part of the answer to the budget crisis?
No, it's no answer to any of our problems in public education. One of the things that has happened is that the Obama administration has actually built on the test, punish, and privatize approach of the Bush era to kind of continue policies in this direction. For example, all the new money that the federal government wants to give to education this year, in Race to the Top and related programs, it wants to distribute as competitive grants to states with winners and losers. In the past, Title I funding had always been distributed on the basis of need, where it was used to support kids who were born in poverty or kids who had educational disabilities or language learning issues, but they were distributed on a categorical basis, on the basis of need. Instead, the Obama administration is using this competitive grant process to distribute funds to winners who agree to implement the administration's particular policy reforms, such as increasing the number of charter schools or using test scores to make decisions about teacher compensation or promotion or tenure. And these are the kinds of decisions that actually erode public education, erode the role that teachers and educators have in making decisions, and actually will hurt poor schools who can't write grants, who are in a worse position to actually compete competitively for federal funds. Somebody compared it to having the unemployed duke it out over unemployment benefits. Turning federal funding into competitive grants to support privatized reforms is not the kind of equity and access support that we should be getting from the federal government in this area.
And you write in your article in Rethinking Schools that the Race to the Top has resulted in, I'll quote you here, aggressive intervention for schools with low test scores, including closures, firing of staff, and various forms of state and private takeovers. You just talked about that a little bit, but can you give some examples?
Right. One of the things that happened under No Child Left Behind is that schools were identified as being in various degrees of sanction. And what Race to the Top is doing is actually defining those sanctions in a very targeted way that could have a dramatic impact. President Obama's Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, who was the CEO, as he called himself, of Chicago schools and comes from the kind of corporate business model of reform, was in favor of what he called turnarounds. And what this means is that all the federal money in the stimulus funding, in the new Title I, and if No Child Left Behind gets reauthorized in that act, the administration wants to tie to certain assurances that it will be used for things like closing down schools with low test scores. You might have remembered there was a school in Rhode Island that fired all the teachers at Central Falls High School because it had low test scores. And the president went out of his way to say that this was a courageous act that was right for kids, a model of accountability and typical of what the administration wanted to repeat in thousands of schools over the next few years. Secretary Duncan has been talking about closing down 1,000 schools a year as if he was the CEO of a runaway multinational. But what they don't mention is that the federal mandates under which they closed these down required the firing of staff, the firing of principals, the turning over of these schools to private management firms, or turning them over to charters. And in places, especially where there are clusters of these poor schools, it creates real havoc where schools and communities are displaced from current schools, which despite their problems are still important institutions in the community, and often replaced by schools that are serving very different sectors of the population and that are displacing large numbers of students without providing good alternatives. And this kind of disruption, which the federal government has no track record and no resources to really do well, is in fact just opening opportunities for private penetration, private operation, private management of public institutions in a very disruptive way, especially in poor communities.
So overall, big picture, you also compare the public education system in a way to single-payer healthcare, and you say that President Obama is treating both in similar ways. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, when he was a candidate, he would often say that if he was starting from scratch, he would favor single-payer health care, with government regulating a nonprofit system and providing access to health care for all. But he specifically said the reason he wouldn't press for that in the area of health is because it would be too disruptive to the kind of system we have in place, which was based on employer care, employer-provided care. Yet it was interesting that when it comes to education, a single-payer system is pretty much what public education is. The government is responsible for providing public access to a nonprofit system of schools for all children. The state and the local governments provide the oversight and the funding, and the federal government historically has been responsible for issues of equity and access, you know, school integration, funding for poor schools, things like that. But now in the field of education, instead of sustaining this hard-won public system, which took a long and a painful struggle to build, and to address its many flaws and improve it, instead, Obama and Duncan are proposing policies that are going to dramatically disrupt the system we have and introduce some of the same profiteering and inequities of the current healthcare system into education. And so it's very striking to see the difference in the two areas.
So what do you see as the answer to current school funding woes? What should we be doing?
Well, the federal government first, if it's going to, you know, in this climate have federal funding increase, it has to tie federal funding to a more equitable distribution of it in the states. It has to leverage the federal funds, which, because of the budget crisis, are more important than ever. It has to use that leverage to encourage states and reward states for improving the equity and adequacy of their own state finance systems. It also has to stop promoting privatization and merit pay and things which really erode the ability of teachers to make educational decisions. So there's a real chance to have a change in federal direction and the direction of federal policy, but it's going to take a huge push from the bottom in order to change the direction that we're now going in.
Stan Karp is an editor at Rethinking Schools magazine. Stan, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.